I'll wait on them to come down. Morning, Calvary, and happy homecoming day to you. Glad that you're here. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, as we look at this passage this morning. Be reading verse 36 through 44. And a message entitled, Don't Be Left Behind. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angel in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, till the day Noah entered into the ark. And they did not know till the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One taken, one left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Stand with me, please. We'll pray together before we get started here today. God, thank you for the music we have heard. Thank you for this day that has brought this congregation together as they celebrate another year of homecoming. And now, Lord, it is time for the preaching of the Word. And I pray that if there's anyone in this room who's never been saved, walked in here today without Jesus, believing they were only going to listen, but God, you're going to stir and move upon their hearts. Oh, God, do to do before. Behind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. What is the event that takes place on the Christmas? Our Lord was, and that was a special day as He became one of us, lived 33 years, healed many, raised the dead, did a lot of miraculous things, but that's already happened. And then He died on a cross that our sins might be forgiven. Great news that that has already happened. And 3 days later, He rose from the grave so that you and I might be raised from the dead as well. Great news. And it has already happened. And then He was taken up into heaven. And His disciples were there and saw Him go. Another miracle. And that has happened. So what's the next great event? Calendar. Second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to show the second coming of our Lord that we can know or either ask about. And the most important thing about the second coming of Jesus is you don't get left behind. I was 12 years old. My granddaddy one Saturday said, Roger, you want to go fishing? We fished often over Clater Lake in Dublin. And I was interested in moments after he asked me that question, the telephone rang. One of my buddies said, hey, Roger, we're playing ball up in Fort Branch, which was about a half a mile from our house. And so I had two options. Do I want to play baseball with my friends today on this Saturday afternoon, or do I want to go fishing with my grandfather? I had to make a choice. I couldn't do both, and I sort of rationalized in my mind, well, Granny and I, we'll go fishing some more. So, hey, I think I'm going to go. I want to be with my friends today. I'm going to play baseball. So I walked the half mile up to Fort Branch, told Granddaddy, thanks, I'll catch it next time, and we'll go together fishing. And I decided I'd be with my friends. So I get there, and we start to play baseball, and we've just hardly gotten started. And a couple of the mothers came out, and there were things that their children had to do or places they had to be, and a couple of them dropped out. And over a period of maybe 10 minutes, so many dropped out, we didn't have enough to play, and all of a sudden we realized that baseball wasn't going to be played this day as well. And I thought in my mind, uh-oh, I messed up by coming here. I'm going fishing. So I began my way back down to my house by the old highway, down through a field that came to my house, ran the whole way so I could still go fishing with Granddaddy. Got there, and just as I got back home, I saw my grandfather's car going up the hill away as he went fishing. And I realized I had made. And I broke down and I just cried and I cried and I cried because I really wanted to go fishing with my grandfather. And now it was too late and I had been left. In your bulletin, you've got a spot to put some notes in. You might want to jot down these 10 things we're going to talk about real quick this morning, that we can know about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we can say about the coming of our Lord again is this: it will be quick. It will be quick. There will be no delay. It will happen, and it will happen in an instant. Matthew 24:27. For as lightning flashes from east to west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And 1 Thessalonians 5:2, for you know full well the day of the Lord will come as a thief. So the first thing we can say about His return is, when it happens, it will happen quickly. Second thing we can say about our Lord's return, it will be visible. We'll see it. Revelation 1:7. Behold, He comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And every eye behold Him, including those who pierced His side. There won't be anybody that will miss it. It will happen quickly. It will be visible. You will witness it. Come in the clouds. Acts 1:9-11 says this: and when He had spoken those things, while they looked upon Him, He was taken up, and the clouds received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now remember, two men were in the tomb the day of the resurrection in white apparel. Now two men stand beside them in white apparel. And they said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you in this manner shall so return in like manner. Taken in the clouds, will return in the clouds. Quick, visible, in the clouds, and you will see it. The fourth thing we could say about our Lord's return: we don't know when it's going to happen. You don't have any idea, and you don't need to be guessing about when it's going to happen. Verse 36 of Matthew 24, of that day and hour knoweth no man. Is that not clear enough? Of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, not the angels in heaven, but my Father. Oh, you have these nuts out here always predicting. You can look online. There's people, I saw something yesterday where people said a certain year, 2030, this and that, they predict this is when the Lord will return. How foolish. Don't ever pay any attention to somebody who says nutty stuff like that. The Scripture clearly says He is coming back. I don't know when He's coming back. Could be today. Might be 100 years from now. I don't know. It's not important when He's coming. What's important, He is coming. And that's what we need to hang our hat on. So just be glad that He is coming. And yeah, I know it's okay to know and say we can know the signs and we can know when it's getting closer. But the truth is, we do not know when it will happen. The fifth thing we can say. Many will not believe it will happen. There are many people on the earth today, and there were many people in Jesus' day who did not believe it would happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says this. Know this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own desires, and they'll be saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, hey, 2,000 years have gone by. We've talked about, we've heard sermons about Jesus is coming back. Hadn't happened yet. If it's going to happen, why hadn't it happened? Where is He? Why hadn't He come back? Many believe He won't return. Let me tell you something. Just because it hadn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. For example, you haven't died yet. Doesn't mean it ain't going to happen. Just means it hadn't happened yet. So many believe He won't return. The sixth thing, why has it not happened yet? In that same passage, just a few verses down, why hadn't it happened yet? 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one day. This one thing. The Lord is 1,000 years as one day, and 1,000 years the opposite of one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why hasn't it happened yet? God has not allowed it to happen yet, so more and more people can be won into the kingdom. If you've got a family member, or you've got a loved one, or somebody you care about, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, that's not saved yet, aren't you glad He hasn't come yet? Aren't you glad? I mean, I'm excited that He is coming someday, but aren't you glad He hadn't come yet? So that more and more people, including people we love dearly, I've got them in my own family, that I want to see won into the kingdom of God. In that respect, I'm glad it has not happened yet, because He wants more and more people to be saved. The seventh thing we can say, it will have an order to it. It will have an order to it. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, and hey, we believe that, don't we? We believe Jesus died and rose again. He said, well, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, even so, those also which die in Jesus, God will bring with Him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is what God has said. This we say to you by the word of the Lord. We who are alive, we who remain till the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those which have died. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. What kind of shout? I don't know. But it's going to be a shout. With a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Some living generation is going to be on this earth when Jesus returns. It can't be any previous generations. They've died. It can be a future generation. It still can be our generation. But there will be a living generation on this earth when Jesus returns. And there will be an order to it. Those who are Christians who have died will be taken first. Those will rise from the dead. Then that living generation, whoever that is, and those who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How long? The Bible says forever. 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 This is so short, boys, girls, teenagers, men, women. Listen, this is so short. How quick we grow old. Billy Graham said one time, if asked, well, what's the most interesting thing you learned in life? What's the greatest surprise of all of life? And he just simply said, how quickly I became an old man. How quickly I became an old man. And I think, you know, if you're 20 or 30 something, I know you think you'll never get there. But if God lets you live, surprise of all surprises, you will get there. And it comes so fast. 100 years is nothing in relationship in comparison to all of eternity. So there will be an order to it when our Lord comes. The eighth thing we can say, it will be wonderful for Christians. You don't have to be afraid of the second coming if you're saved. It will be wonderful if you are saved. John 14:3, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And again, how long? Forever. It's great news for the Christian that he's coming. Nothing bad about it at all. Wonderful for the Christian. Number nine, absolutely terrible for the lost. Wonderful for the Christian, terrible for the lost. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10. Speaking of his return. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. That's pretty serious language. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What did Paul say it was? That Jesus died on the cross according to the Scripture. That he was buried and rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture. Those who have never been saved, what's going to happen? Shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying that. Scripture says that. Shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And then he goes back to the Christian when he says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe on that day. So it's a bad news, good news verse. He said it's going to be absolutely horrible for people who've never given their heart to Jesus. They die lost. They're so stubborn, so hard-headed. They're unwilling to come and make a profession of faith. Unwilling to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism and follow Jesus and say, he's my Savior. And be proud to call him Lord and Savior and say that unashamedly. So many in our world today think they don't need that. They don't want to do that. They think they can run from that. It's silly. It's foolish. Understand that on that day, whenever that day is, when Jesus returns, it is going to be horrible. That's why Calvary Concord exists. You're not here just to sing songs and make one another happy every week. You are here to reach out to lost people in this community so they can know what you know and have the assurance you have so that they can be there till you've got friends, family members, and neighbors who do not know Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if he were to come today, it will be the worst day in all of history for a lost person. So then what are we supposed to do? What do we do as we wait? 10? We are to watch. Watch. Now I don't mean to stand outside and look up in the sky every day and say, well, you think he's coming today? Now, God wants you to live your life. He doesn't want you to be foolish like that. Just get up every day realizing it could be today. Not necessarily going to be today, but it could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 10 years from now. You watch by saying, I understand it can be the day. It can happen at any time. Back in Matthew chapter 24, it says this, watch therefore. You don't know what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Now a lot of people say, oh, that's foolish. You just stand up there and try to scare everybody saying, Jesus is coming back. If he's not coming back, you need to shut the doors on this church. You need to shut the doors and quit coming here if he's not coming back. Because he made it a whole lot more clear that he's coming back than I'm making this day. So those are 10 things we can know about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to be quick and visible. He will come in the clouds. We do not know when it will happen. Many won't believe it will happen. It won't happen yet because he's wanting more and more people to be won into the kingdom. It will have an order to it. Great for Christians, terrible for the lost. And in the meantime, we're to wait and watch. God is holding back his hand of judgment so that more and more people in Concord, Virginia can come and be saved. More boys, girls, teenagers, moms and daddies, grandmothers and granddaddies can come and be saved. The scoffers say, why hadn't he come yet? And little do they know. People who say that, little do they know. It is for them he's holding back his hand of judgment. God did not build heaven too small. He did not build heaven too small. There's a seat for everybody in the kingdom. But so many people today say, I don't need that. Had a guy say to me one time, said, if you need that crutch of Jesus, go ahead if that's good for you. I said, oh, sir, he's a lot more than a crutch. I promise you that. Someday, it's going to happen. And for people who've never been saved, don't you miss this now, you're listening? Don't you miss this? There will be an empty seat for people who've never been saved that will cry out through all of eternity saying, I wanted you here, but you kept saying no. You kept rejecting the gospel. You kept listening to Pastor Chad Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, walking out without being saved. Let me give you my definition of hell. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man could see Lazarus in heaven, and he asked if he could just come down and stick his finger in a glass of water and just rub it on his tongue. There'd be some relief. And Abraham said, even if he wanted to do that, he couldn't. Why? He said, because a great gulf, a great division is between us. And those from there cannot go here, and those from here cannot go there. So here's my definition of hell. My definition of hell is being where the rich man was, being able to see, he could literally see into the other side and couldn't get there. Now that's hell, to be able to see the other side and can't get there. In 1969, I was a teenager. A man by the name of Larry Norman wrote a song. Some of you will remember. It was called, I Wish We Had All Been Ready, talking about the second coming of Jesus. I wish we'd all been ready. Some of the words. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The Son has come, and you've been left behind. The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come, and you've been left behind. I wish we'd all been ready. There would be other days that I would go fishing with my granddaddy. There would be other fun Saturday afternoons. And though I was left behind that day, I got over. But if you get left behind when Jesus comes back, you will never get over. And you will regret it for all eternity.
eternity. Let me promise you one thing on the authority of God's Word. He's coming back. I don't know when. He's coming back. And if you happen to still be living, whatever else you do in your life, you need to do what's necessary that you don't get left behind. Everybody understand that? If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, don't you miss that chance today. I promise you, you want to be there. You want to be there in heaven. You don't want to miss it. You want to be there. Don't be left. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these few moments we've shared together on this homecoming day. And I pray that in just a minute, there are going to be some folks who come and say, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus Christ. God, I hope you'll give them courage. Even on this homecoming day, I hope you'll give them courage to come and make that decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in a few moments, we're going to be singing our hymn of invitation. And the words will be up on the screen. But first of all, I'm going to offer you an invitation. Now, you heard what I said today. Jesus is coming back. When, I don't know. But He's coming back. And it'll be to take saved people home to heaven. If you're already saved, you got nothing to worry about. If you've never been saved, you've got a lot to worry about this morning, and I encourage you to do something about it. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, He loves you. His Son died for you that you might have eternal life. And in a few moments, as Chad does every Sunday, stands right here and waits for people who are lost to come and say yes to Jesus. And if that's you, man, please don't say no to that. You're not going to change my life. I'm going. But I want you to go too. Every Christian in here wants you to go. But you need to understand something. We're going with you or without you. Won't you come on and join us? Husband, wife, son, daughter. Have you been saved? If you haven't, will you come and be saved right now? Goodness. Why would anybody choose not to go to heaven? And yet by the thousands, people die every day without Jesus. In other words, you're going to attend this homecoming and miss the great homecoming there? Would that make any sense? Of course not. If you've never been saved, you come on today and give your heart to Jesus. You've never been baptized as our Lord was by immersion. You come today and you tell Brother Chad, I need to follow through with believer's baptism. Somebody may need to come and rededicate their life or join this church. You come on and do what God's leading you to do. But the most important thing that I've talked to you about today is, don't you get left behind. Don't you say you never heard. Don't you say you didn't know. I have told you clearly He's coming. And if you can't say with all assurance, if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. If you can't say that, because by faith you've given your heart to Christ and repented of your sin, you be the first one down this aisle and you tell this pastor, this is my day. This is my day to receive Jesus as my Savior. So you know who you are. And if you haven't done that, God knows. Doesn't matter what I know, but God knows. Can't trick God. You can't get into heaven by being good. You can't get into heaven by voting Republican or Democrat or giving away a lot of money. You can get there one way. By confessing your sin trusting Christ as Savior, giving Him your heart and life. If you're ready to do that on this homecoming day, this whole church will rejoice with you. By talking to anybody here who's never been saved, and if so, will you come as we sing the hymn of invitation? Standing together as we sing, you come.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the